come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got two on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Well, he intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Joined by the great Jeff Fekels, I am John Schmelk. 1 hour of Giants talk with you on the phones and on Twitter. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free today. And we'll get Jeff Fekels' DraftKings pick later on the show. So make sure you stay tuned. We'll get him for you. He did not do so well last week. That's okay. He's still going to bounce back in week number two.
There's 15 more weeks at this to do it and playoffs. So, hey, that's okay. I got some good ones for you today. How are you doing, Johnny?
I'm doing great, Feeks. How are you? We turned the page. Obviously, there's been a lot of talk this week about what happened at the end of that Giants-Cowboys games last week.
Yeah.
Now, all the Giants have to worry about are the Atlanta Falcons coming to town on Sunday afternoon, a 1 o'clock game. Now, the Giants have had success against the Falcons in recent years, but considering the change in the coaching staff, obviously some of the talent's still the same. Roddy White, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones. But this is a very different-looking team, a new head coach, a new defense, a new offensive coordinator as well. So this is a much different Falcons team than Giant fans have become accustomed to seeing the last couple of years.
Well, offensively, you know, you got the two receivers there and Matty Ryan. So, you know, that's going to be a little bit consistent. So you kind of know what they're going to bring to the table. Their defense, a little bit different, but they're fast. They get after it. You know, they didn't have a sack last week in last week's game, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to get pressure or try to get pressure on Eli Manning. I think both teams are going to come up with somewhat of a similar game plan that they had. Obviously, the Giants were not successful against the Cowboys, but the Cowboys were successful against the Giants offensively because they did not move the ball well at all in that game. And on the flip side of it, you look at what the Falcons did against this Eagles defense, and they'll probably take a little page out of there and also look at what the Cowboys did to stop that offense also. So, you know, between those two things and leading up to this game, a huge, huge must for the Giants football team this week. You do not want to fall to 0-2. You know the statistics. What happens when a team starts 0-2? It can happen. You can get to the playoffs. We did it in 07. But the fact is, Johnny, it's a home game. They're honoring the 1990 Super Bowl champions. It's their home opener. And, you know, all things got to go well on Sunday for this Giants team to beat the Falcons, who don't play good on the road. They're not a very good road team.
They do not, but again, maybe on their new head coach, that'll change.
Never know.
We'll see how that works. A couple of things to note with this Falcon team. Obviously, you mentioned it. They had a nice win on Monday night against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, impressive.
They took a lead early in that game, and they managed to hold on after a late Eagles run. And I think we did learn a few things about the Falcons in that game, Jeff. And let's start offensively, and this should be no surprise and no breaking news, but Julio Jones is still pretty darn good. And the Falcons are going to try to get him the football. And if you let him get over the top on you, guess what? You're in a heap of trouble.
Well, and something that the Cowboys did not do last week is get over the top. The Giants did. Let me back up.
The Giants prevented the Cowboys
from going over the top. Okay, so, and listen, these guys, especially Julio Jones, I mean, you gotta be knowing where he's at and always have help over the top because he's explosive. You know, last year he had a big game against the Giants. I think he had, 11 catches for 105 yards. So, you know, listen, for him to get 100 yards is no big deal for Julio Jones,
no,
right?
No, it is not.
But to me, this Giants defense is going to have to get after Matt Ryan because if you give him the time that Tony Romo had last week, he can eat you alive.
Well, and that gets to the Falcons' offensive line, Jeff, exactly where I was going to go next. And I'm not going to call it a makeshift offensive line because you have some names you're going to recognize here. Adam Levitre is a name you're going to know. Jake Matthews is a high pick a couple years ago. Chris Chester is a name you probably know. So these are names that you know, but this line has not been together for very long. Levitre just showed up from, I believe it was the Titans last week at a trade. So it's not as though this group has been together for a while. Tyler Palumbo, who I believe was a backup for the Redskins. He was actually their starting right tackle. He's a backup for them in Atlanta now. So they're names that you know, but we saw against the Eagles, I thought, a lot of max protection to keep a pretty fierce Eagles pass rush off of Matt Ryan. And I would expect until this group really comes together and gels, which I imagine will probably take another couple weeks, we're going to see them trying to play around this offensive line, not necessarily saying, all right, guys, we're going to do seven-step drops here. Go protect Matt Ryan for 5 seconds.
No, and really for this offensive line to give Matt – Quick passes, you know, and the Falcons offense, they like to cross, a lot of crossing routes, a lot of the middle of the field stuff, quick hits, and, you know, that's how you get that yak yardage out of those receivers. But, you know, and then you have the addition of Jake Long, who's I don't think he's going to be playing, but he's certainly probably in the near future. So it just goes to show you that they don't feel very highly on that offensive line, yep. John. And so maybe this is a point of emphasis for this Giants defense to get after them.
And I'll tell you what, two names that maybe a lot of fans don't know that I was very impressed with from the game Monday night were the Falcons' two running backs. I thought Tevin Coleman, the rookie, ran the ball extremely well. He's a guy that can, you know, run inside, run outside. He's got speed. He can catch the ball. He does a little of everything. And then Devontae Freeman, who was their second-round pick last year, Coleman was a third-round pick this season. Freeman was a great receiver out of the backfield, and considering what you saw, McFadden with one catch, Randall with four catches, Dunbar had, what I believe, 8 catches last week.
Yeah.
I think Freeman's a guy to watch this week. He's a guy that can really be debilitating to your team, especially on third down with his elusiveness and his ability to catch the football.
And if you know that you're that defensive line and you're going to try to go after Matt Ryan and get sacks on the quarterback, you got to look out for those checkdowns. And that's what happened last week in the Dallas game. They kept checking down to Dunbar and those guys. And, you know, these guys that you just mentioned all have the same ability as the Cowboys running backs did coming out of the backfield. So should be interesting. I think these two teams are very well matched up together, and it should be a good game.
All right, now on the defensive side of the ball for the Falcons, let's talk about that. Obviously, their head coach brings over his, you know, cover three system where you're going to play a lot of zone. You're going to let your defensive backs make plays on the football. We saw William Moore have that interception playing that robber position in the game last week against Philadelphia. So they'll play a lot of single high, a lot of three deep, give their guys a chance to make a play. And they have a couple of young, talented pass rushers on this team, Jeff. They never got home on Sam Bradford to get a sack on Monday night, but they did put some pressure on him. You have Vic Beasley, their first-round pick this year.
I was just going to mention him, yeah.
Rashad Hageman, I believe, was a first- or second-round pick last year. He was either going to be late one or an early two. I think he was an early second-round pick for the Falcons back in 2014. And then O'Brien Schofield was somebody that came over with the head coach from Seattle, who has the ability to rush the passer a little bit. So those are guys that the Giants are going to have to make sure they know where they are on every down.
And I think that, you know, collectively this offensive line for the Giants, the more they play next to each other and with each other, that the better they're going to get. And I think that they did a nice job last week of containing that Dallas Cowboys pass rush. You know, Eli was sacked one time. And the fact that they can continue to play better, and like you said, John, they're going to have to look out for these guys. Vic Beasley, in particular, is a very young rookie guy who can come in there and make plays. On the backside of it, you got Trufant, who is by far their best player in the backfield. He's a playmaker. You got to be watching out for him.
And they said he'll be matched up with Odell Beckham Jr. Now, it's not going to be like they're locking up a man-to-man and leaving him out on an island now. That's
not
going to happen.
That's not
going to
happen.
But he's the man that's going to be primarily responsible for Beckham, but much like the Cowboys, I got to imagine the Falcons are going to say, you know what, we're going to keep a guy over the top over here, and the Giants, we're going to make you go somewhere else to try and beat us.
Yeah, Allen or Moore, their safeties, they're going to be over the top. They're going to be listen, they're not going to take their eye off of number 13 because, you know what, he was a little stymied last week. And I think that Odell, you know, he's a young guy. And for him not to have the catches that he did last week, he's going to start getting a little bit antsy. And I think you do need to get the ball into his hands. And Coach Coughlin has talked all week about wanting to get the ball down the field. So the Giants need to exploit that if they can and try to get him over the top and see what kind of a big play he can make.
How important is it for Reuben Randall early in this game to make a few plays, especially a couple plays down the field that really do some damage, so that the Falcons aren't going to be so quick to say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate two guys to Beckham on every big play?
And I'll answer that in a second. I remember, you know, last year Reuben Randall scored a touchdown in this game.
Yeah, so, 4 catches, 31 yards, and a touchdown against the Falcons last year.
And I think as a player, sometimes when you have good games against other teams, that you play against them again, you kind of have that confidence going. So to answer your question, I think it's very imperative for him to get out and start off quickly. The other thing is that we have got to have some production out of Preston Parker or Dwayne Harris, whoever's going to be in there this weekend. That third down back, that slot receiver, you look at those plays, those key plays last week, and Preston Parker dropping those football on those third down plays, three of them, costly. And if you're going to get in a close game and you're going to get in a possession game here, you've got to be able to convert those third downs, and those guys have to make those plays.
Now, one other note from the game last week that I want to carry forward to this week, and then we'll get to your calls at 201-939-4513, Jeff. The Giants' red zone play last week wasn't exactly where you wanted to be. They had four trips, one touchdown, three field goals, and in essence, the Giants really, their offense only accounted for 9 of the team's 26 points.
Yeah.
Rashad Jennings ran it in, but that was after Tremaine McBride's pick put the ball at the 1. The field goal off the interception where Romo was trying to find Jason Witten, and then obviously the Cromartie return for a touchdown. So the offense only accounted for 9 points in that game, and you figure, assuming Matt Ryan's not going to turn the ball over 3 times, which you would think he's not because he's a good quarterback, they're going to have to do a little bit more on offense.
No question. And I think the one of the best things that the Giants' offense did last week was that drive at the end of the game.
They ran it even though Dallas knew they were going to run it.
Exactly, because they're ahead in the game. And you know, so that was a bright spot about it. But you're right, John. I mean, this team cannot expect to go out and come out of the game plus 3 on turnovers every game. And granted, the defense kept them in the game and the whole time, but this offense is going to have to. And we saw, in the preseason, let's not get all, we'll pump the brakes a little bit on the preseason and the offense, but we did not see much out of the offense in preseason. The first game, not much either. So they got to get it going here. They really need to get the running game going. And set up the pass, in my opinion, this week.
And I want to mention special teams since you're with us, especially,
yep.
Jeff. Devin Hester, we'll see. He's battling turf, though. He hasn't practiced. I don't know if he's going to go or not. You punted to Devin Hester. You know, he's one of these returners that have been around for a while now.
Yeah.
Usually those guys don't last quite that long, but he has been in the league for quite some time. What's the challenge in going up against a guy like Devin Hester?
Well, the challenge is just he's a better athlete than all the guys that are on the field. And you never want to give him a chance to have a return. So one of the reasons that Brad Wing is here is his ability to be able to directional kick and do it well. He had a nice game against the Cowboys last week.
I thought he was fantastic.
Absolutely.
Every punt was outside the numbers, it seemed.
A lot of pressure on him, and of course you have to perform under pressure at this level. And I thought he did well. He went on the road, and he did a nice job. Both of his punts were outside the numbers. Good hang time, and then they pinned that one on the 7-yard line, but if you can't get it out of bounds, John, you got to get some hang time and location. Okay, so Coach Coughlin will take 38 yards fair catch every time, especially to Hester. And if Hester doesn't play, that's a bonus for the Giants.
Now, I want to ask you about Bosher, too, the Falcons.
Yeah,
punter.
Oh, my goodness.
Boy,
what a day he had last week.
He's a heck of a punter, huh?
He's from Miami, that's why.
Oh.
No. But, no, you know, a guy like that, obviously he kicks in the dome. But we as kickers and punters, we always used to discredit the guys that kicked in the dome. But the fact of the matter is the guy has a big leg, and he can flip the field on you. However, he does outkick his coverage a lot. And so what did the Giants do? They went out and got Dwayne Harris. So
Make a play.
I mean, he tried to make a play in the Dallas game last week. He made a bad decision down there and was tackled for a loss on one of the punt returns. But he's here for a reason. And when you get a guy like Bosher that can kick the ball a long ways, it's going to give him a big opportunity to be able to go out there and have a nice return. One thing in special teams, when you look back to last year, we don't like to compare the two, but we have to take a little bit of tidbits from it, is that Preston Parker had a fumble on a kickoff return last year that set up a score for the Falcons that kept them in that game.
All right, want to get the calls, Jeff?
Let's hit the calls. Yeah, let's go. What do we got, guys? We got Lauren here.
Let's go. Lauren, he's on the line first at 201-939-4513. What's up, Lauren?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing good. Well, Lauren. What's up?
All right. Hey, so I just wanted to give you guys a call. Obviously, you were talking about Preston Parker, and I agree with you guys. I mean, we kept this guy again for another year, and, I really like to see Dwayne Harris get a little involved in the offense. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing him in the backfield, maybe with Shane Vereen, seeing some mismatches that we haven't seen. And we definitely got to play aggressive coming out the gates. And, I've been in a lot of home games at the Giants games, and we definitely got to get the crowd into it. And what do you guys think about that, seeing Dwayne Harris maybe in the backfield with Shane Vereen?
Well, Lauren, McAdoo spoke yesterday, the Giants offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo, and he said that they've been working Harris in the slot this week, so I think you might see some of that. And frankly, Tom Coughlin said, I believe he was asked back on Wednesday about Shane Vereen. He said, I think you'll see more of him. So I think you'll see more of both guys. I think you'll probably see Vereen as a bigger part of this offense this week. I thought he was going to be a bigger part of the offense in week number one. But frankly, I think the Cowboys probably have one of the best matchups in the league to cover Vereen and Sean Lee. He's one of the faster linebackers in football. So I think they'll have better matchups with Vereen this week against Atlanta, Jeff.
One thing you can look out for, too, is if all of a sudden, you know, either it's Dwayne Harris or Parker, they can't get the ball to those guys on third down, look for Vereen. Look for those tight ends again because, you know, if they can't get it to those guys and they can count on them catching the football, they got to look elsewhere. And Vereen and the two tight ends are a valuable option. Now, we don't know about Fells. He hasn't practiced all week.
Correct.
So I don't know exactly what his status is going to be for the game. But regardless, those guys are certainly a viable option on third down.
Right, yeah. Eli plays a lot better when he throws, you know, short passes and we get him involved, get him some completions early in the game.
Sure.
So I agree with that. I was impressed with the defense last week. Definitely didn't expect that coming out of the gates, but I definitely agree with you guys as well. We need to get some pressure on the ball, on the quarterback, on Matt Ryan. And, you know, what do you guys think about JPP? I know he went back to Florida, and now we see the pictures out. You think we'll be able to see him this year?
Whether or not to see him this year, I think it's a good question. I think it's going to be a while still, and that's basically what the Giants said when he got here. And frankly, everyone is like, I can't believe there's that much damage. Well, the Giants never actually said how much damage there was. All he ever heard was leaks coming out of Florida, and I think you can take a guess where those are coming from, that, you know, maybe it wasn't so bad. But once he got here, I think the Giants made it pretty clear that he wasn't ready to play. So I think it's a wait and see. And, you know, we'll see when he gets back. The Giants have not put a timetable on it. I don't think they want to create expectations because, quite frankly, and, Lauren, here's the problem here, and the Giants have said this, you know, this isn't exactly an injury that they can look at past experiences of other players and say, well, this guy was out 6 weeks, so 6 weeks. This guy was out 10 weeks, so 10 weeks.
Yeah.
This is a new one.
There isn't a file under firework injuries, you know. You can't just go digging in there. But for the most part, I just think it's time will tell on this one for both parties, the Giants and JPP.
Thanks, Lauren.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Lauren, have a good one.
Appreciate it, man. 201-939-4513. And, Jeff, look, when JPP came in here and he went back home without, you know, playing and signing and being ready to play, we said the Giants are going to have to – and, frankly, I said this back in August, and we all did – the Giants have to proceed as though he's not going to be here.
Yeah.
If he gets back and he comes back and he's a factor – fantastic. You put him in there,
it's
and
a bonus.
You watch him get after the quarterback. Right. But you got a plan without him at this point. And like you said earlier, that means finding somebody else to help get you pass rush.
That's the key. It's which one of those guys can – I don't think you're going to replace JPP. There's nobody on this roster, in my opinion, that can replace that guy. But you got to have some guys that can step up and try to at least get, you know, 75% of a JPP, if you will. You know, John, part of the problem with JPP is that not only is it the performance part of it, but it's also the salary cap part of it. You know, they're holding that money back. I don't know how much gets to be used per week if they lose that money that was going to be allocated. I don't know. But the fact is that, you know, that's something on the management side that they have to look at. See, that's the small card. That's the one you gave me last week.
Well, this
is awesome.
The one from the Falcons and Eagles game
last
week.
Then we get this one.
Right.
For us people that can't see. This one's awesome, right?
Well, you know, you have old-timers like you. They want to make sure you
get
that.
Oh, that's just ridiculous. I don't know who the heck is putting that thing out. But thank you, by the way, for giving me that a week early.
Happy to be of assistance, Jeff.
That's what John does. John prepares all of us for at least 1 week ahead. It's awesome.
You know, in the past, I've said, you know what, maybe I'm not going to help Jeff Week, and I'll see what happens. And it never goes well.
I need information. Preparation is the key to success, as Coach Coughlin would always say.
Let's go to JD in Maryland. He's up next. JD, what's happening, pal?
What's up, JD?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? This is JD from Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Sorry, JD. How are you, pal?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Just first things first, thank you very much for continuously doing the show. An awesome and great product. It is greatly appreciated.
Thanks for calling in, JD.
Trust me, the pleasure is mine. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to talk me off the ledge a little bit because it's amazing how you read all these reports and same with the Giants, though I have. And then, of course, you deal with coworkers like, oh, your team is finished. And I'm trying to tell them. I said, no, the team is not done. And then I'm trying to really understand, and maybe you can answer this question for me. What is the point of the NFL when they come out with these reports, say, oh, our bad, you know, those two calls?
ridiculous.
JD, I will let the ex-player tell you how they react when you get one of those, you know, NFL memos on.
I can't show you on my fingers how we react. I can tell you right now. But let me just tell you, it's just to me, it's amazing that you know, when you're growing up as a kid and you do something wrong and you know you did something wrong, and you don't get in trouble for it, and then all of a sudden your parents find out for it later, then you get in trouble? Well, referees, that's not how it works. They mess up in the game, and then they tell you that you messed up, and they just say, "Well, sorry, we messed up, guys. You know, we're not going to get in trouble about it." I guess they get a demerit of some sort because they're trying to go into the playoffs. What does it do? It does nothing. It just goes to show you that the people that were commenting on in the game were correct and the referees weren't, because those were two big plays in that football game. The DRC pass interference and the Daniel Fells holding penalty in the end zone, which was clear as day in my mind. And all I could talk about was, you know, that play down there. Eli just strolled over there and get a pass interference. It was a holding call. First and goal, game over for the Giants.
And the amazing thing to me on that play, and I don't want to beat a dead horse here, is that he was the only guy in the route.
He was the only guy in the route.
And he's right in front of the field judge. Yeah. Who else is the guy?
What are these guys doing? Wanting to get home? I mean, it's unbelievable.
See, if you notice, it was on the same side of the guy, that same referee or that line judge that made the call on DRC.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
All right, JD, what else you got?
I was twitching. No, I'm just kidding. But basically my question is this. This pass rush is, in my opinion, was completely non-existent. One, why is Colin Jenkins on the front line? He's a defensive tackle, not a defensive end. Two, I understand through this whole week, and like I said, once again, not beating a dead horse, they put a lot of onus, and I, you know, the leadership shows when Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning, and they're like, you know what, it's my fault. I should have done this. But when are they actually going to hold the defense that gave up the scores accountable? Did they pretty much know that, oh, okay, well, they were going to come down and score anyway? It was just kind of disturbing to me that, you know, everyone was dogging Eli and everyone was dogging Tom Coughlin, but no one says anything about the defense that gave up the scores.
No, JD, look, JD, and that's absolutely fair, and I think, you know, Lance and Jeff made this point on Monday.
I know
Monday,
where you're going on this,
and me and Lance made this point on Tuesday again, and this is my thing. This gets talked about, and it's in the papers, but to me it's just a footnote. If the Cowboys don't come back and score, it's like, oh, by the way, the Giants win, but they screwed up the time at the clock management at the end of the game, and
sure,
everyone forgets it after a day or two, you know. And you're right; they have no timeouts. It's 90 seconds. A field goal, I get, but the touchdown came way too easily.
Well, yeah. And even on the drive before that,
absolutely.
And so there is some accountability there. You're right. However, I will tell you this: is that I thought that the defense played good enough to win that game. Anytime you go on the road and get three turnovers, you're usually coming home with a victory.
And basically score two touchdowns defensively, which is basically what
they did.
Absolutely.
The 17 points off of turnovers. So that, and like you said, John, you know, the offense only accounted for 9 of those points, so of the 26. But listen, this team, when you have a loss like this, it's very difficult to come back to work and just forget about it. I mean, everybody always says, you know, hey, we have the 24-hour rule, and you hear all that. But when you have the media and you have social media, you have everything around it, it's not easily forgettable, because it's always being presented. And the guys, you know, they turn on the radio when they're going home and they're hearing about it and this and that. So, but as a player, you have to focus and you have to understand that I got another game to play. I have 15 games more to play, and it's no more important than the one that's here now. Because I can tell you this, that this Giants, this is a huge game. You talk about a pressure situation early in the season. It's this one right here in their home opener. They lose this game and go 0-2. The team's going to have to really back themselves in a huge hole. So they need to get off this night and come out here and play well. And like I said, John, you know, if they're celebrating the 90 Super Bowl team, what better reason not only for themselves to win a game, but to come out here for the organization and come in with a home opener victory.
And the last point I'm going to make, well, first I was talking to one of my coworkers, and I said, what's interesting is this. This is a completely different feel of pass defenses. Because I remember when Justin Tuck used to say, you know what, we used to want our games to end with the defense. We want to end the game with a sack or something like that. But it just seemed like it just felt like they were expecting them to pretty much fold and give up the points and everything like that. Because, like I said, when I used to listen to Justin Tuck when he was here, that's how they wanted to end the game. It was just almost like a challenge to them. Like, you know what, we want to end this game with a sack, you know, or a turnover or something like that. But it was just the whole feel of it. It was like, okay, well, they gave them too much time. We're expecting the Cowboys to score. I wasn't expecting them to score, but I could just pretty much see how each and every last person who tried to put some kind of a rush, they were stalemated. I mean, even when they tried to put a blitz in, they were stalemated. But like I said, it's going to be a new team, new game. Hey, let's go, Big Blue.
Thanks,
once again,
JD.
Folks, thank you for taking the call. Enjoy the day. And,
Thanks, JD.
Hope to hear you all Sunday.
Appreciate it, my friend. Yeah, you can check out Jeff and I. We'll be on the pregame show starting at 11:30 on WFN. Stop by MetLife Central if you're at the game. We'll be there hanging out with you. You can come by. And then, of course, Lance Beto, myself, Papa Banks will be on the postgame show afterwards in the locker room and up in the booth breaking everything down. Jeff, you brought up something interesting I want to kind of build on a little bit here. And I've heard all the players, you know, get the stock answer in the locker room this week. Oh,
yeah.
After Monday we turned the page, we're not worrying about it anymore, and we're on to Atlanta. Is that true?
It is. You know what? I'd say I give it a 90-10%, John. What I mean by 90% they are, because you know what? I will tell you this. When you come into the building, football is a game of routine. And, you know, on Wednesday, Mondays you do this, Tuesdays, yada, yada, yada. Wednesday, the game plan is given to you. You no longer have the ability to reflect on what happened because you have to start preparing mentally and get in your playbook. You got a game plan. You got to start learning this stuff. Now, the 10% comes from what I said earlier. Get in the car. Turn sports radio on. You know, you kind of start hearing things like that.
So it's when you're not working.
It's when you're not working. Because you know
it.
Around
okay.
here.
That makes sense.
Think about it around here. You know, nobody's talking about that around here.
No, absolutely not.
So they're in the building from 7:30 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. That's focus time. That's everything is, you know, but then when they get outside of it, they got their friends, they got the radio, they got social media. It can creep in. But the fact is that they have to learn. And this is probably more difficult for the younger guys. They have to learn that, hey, the task at hand, and that's the Atlanta Falcons, and we got to focus on it. It's being pounded in their brains day in and day out right now.
And by the media.
So, and again, I think it, more importantly, when you go on that practice field, offensively and defensively and special teams, you have assignments. You have different game plans. The game plan will not be the same as it was against the Cowboys for Steve Spagnuolo.
No.
It's going to be different. So there's going to be different coverages. There's going to be different rushes. There's going to be different this on offense. So the players are constantly learning within the system, getting prepared for the Falcons.
All right. Abdul's in Minnesota. He's up next at 201-939-4513. Abdul.
Hi, Abdul.
Hey, guys. I have two questions.
Yep.
First question is, how is Jasper Brinkley doing? Is he up to speed yet? I watched him in Minnesota, and he's more than a competent middle linebacker. If Unga or Beeson are kind of banged up. So do you guys know if he's been active? Is he planning on being active? Because I think he's a decent option.
Steve Spagnuolo was asked about Brinkley yesterday. I will paraphrase first, but I'll try to
really haven't heard much about him.
I will try to bring up the transcript here real quickly. Let me see if I can give you the exact. I want to give you the exact quote since he asked.
Well, you know, the reports, all the reports that we get and everything they read about him, is wow, you know, how did this, you know, this guy's good.
All right, here we go. Jasper Brinkley. Yeah. This is when Spags was asked about him yesterday, Abdul. He's getting there. It's a lot of catching up to do. What happens now is there really is not a lot of practice time. I mean, you say there's 2 weeks, but it's only 4 practices. That's not a lot. And we're really trying to get other guys ready, so he's really not getting a ton of reps. But I'll tell you what, he's a pro. He's a good football player. When we got him, I texted Leslie Frazier, who's a good friend of mine. He had him in Minnesota, like you mentioned. He thought the world of him, and he was right. Jasper is good. So I think he's getting there. Do I think he could step in and lead this defensive middle linebacker on Sunday? Maybe a little bit early, and then you got the short week against Washington, so that might be tough too.
Right.
But I think you get to week 4, I think he'll probably be a lot closer than he is right now.
Yeah.
Good. And second question is, I think it's one of the most important aspects of a coach is being able to do in-game adjustments. And I've noticed an alarming habit with the offensive coordinator that he doesn't really do that much. And this is just me watching the game on, you know, as a layman. Have you seen him making in-game adjustments, you know, like moving Beckham around to knowing that they're rolling over the safety, so maybe putting him in motion or putting him in slot? It seems like he's not making too many adjustments, but he just has a game plan, and he kind of just sticks to it. And it could be, you know, this is what last year I noticed this, and they said that it's because, you know, the offense isn't all the way in, you know, we're limited in our plays. But this year is year two, and where everything is being implemented. And it seems like he's still limited in his play calls, and he's not making in-game adjustments. Is that just me being impatient, or I'm not noticing the, you know, that he is?
I don't think the common fan actually notices the adjustments that are actually being made. I know you probably have noticed on the sideline, you know, you have the the smart pads that are on, you know, they're watching, right. You know, so they are making adjustments.
Remember, there is no video on those iPads, on the Microsoft tablets, so it's just photos on there.
It's just photos.
They're not allowed to watch video yet on the sideline. I think they tested that in one preseason game this year, if I recall.
But probably a glitch.
Right now, it's just photos still, but they did try video once in the preseason.
But they're, you know, they're constantly looking at and this game, this football is a game of matchup. So, you know, they're out there looking at, okay, how can we exploit this guy or this coverage that they're playing. So I think, you know, the common fan can say those kinds of things. They are making adjustments. It isn't just going to halftime and say, okay, we got to do this. It's constantly throughout the game. And, you know, when you look at that offensive coordinator, he's got that board up there. I mean, holy smokes, there's got to be 500 plays on there, you know. So
I just love the way Atlanta used Julio Jones. He's all over the field. He's in the slot. He's out wide. He's in cross. Everywhere.
Yeah, you know, and what, though, Abdul?
That's their offense.
Yeah, but Abdul, I thought Beckham did get moved around last Sunday night.
Okay.
I didn't think he was sitting there in one place the whole game.
No. And you know what? I don't care which team you are in today's offensive formations. Everybody's everywhere. I mean, you don't have the traditional I, the X guy, and the Y, and the Z, and all that. They stay in the same place. They're all over the place, you know? And that is because of what I said. It's all matchups, and you're trying to gain the advantage. And that's what the quarterback is under the center or back there looking at coverages and saying, you know what, we know that this play is not going to work, even though we might have adjusted to it coming out of the huddle, and we've made an adjustment, and now they've gone into a different coverage or a different, you know, I got to set the protection. I mean, it's very difficult. The thing you have to caution against is trying to get away from your game plan that you work all week on to try to win the game, and all of a sudden you're changing things throughout the game. It sometimes backfires on you.
What else you got, Abdul?
One thing. Is Ruben Randall hurt? Because he seemed like he was getting no separation. He was like, I understand that the quarterback has to throw the ball to him, as Howard Cross said yesterday. But once again, I watched the game again, and it looked like he was not getting any separation or even finishing running his routes. It seemed like he kind of gave up on a couple of routes. Is he okay, or –
Well, I don't see him. I don't see him on the injury report, so I think he's fine.
I mean, he has been out there practicing. Remember, he had that knee tendonitis during the preseason.
Yeah.
But as far as I understand, he's been over it. He got asked about that, I think, last week before the Cowboys game, if I remember right, Abdul. And he said that the knees, you know, knocked on the locker and said, for now, they're holding up. I hope they don't get sore again. So I think he's okay. But look, you're right. You got to get better performance out of him. I did not look at the coach's tape and watch Randall specifically to see how much separation he got. I know down in Dallas they're pretty happy with the job Morris Claiborne and Brandon Carr did on him. So, you're right. You need more out of him, especially if you're going to put all that attention on Beckham. No question.
And
thanks,
Edwin. You're welcome. And, you know, one thing that we all counted on is Ruben Randall having a big season in 2015 with a healthy Victor Cruz. I think, you know, when you have Cruz and Beckham in the lineup, that's going to free up a little bit more for Ruben Randall. But right now, there's no respect level for that slot receiver that the Giants have now, whoever it is. We obviously know that they have respect for Beckham, and I don't think that Ruben Randall scares anybody in you know, that they're going to try to double team him or not. But, you know, his point is that, and a lot of people were making this point last week, John, is that he was not getting off the line of scrimmage and he needs some separation.
Well, here's the thing with Parker, though, if you think about it. I mean, he did actually create separation in that game.
Yeah, just couldn't hold on to the ball.
I mean, he had that, you know, he had the cornerback turned around with their back turned. He should have caught that ball down the field. So if he finishes those plays, then all of a sudden Preston Parker is making you pay for giving the extra attention to Beckham. So you do that this week, we'll see if things change. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. We'll get Jeff's picks at the end of the show, but we still have a full bank of calls. Vic in Florida will be up next on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Victor!
Hey, good afternoon, John, and good afternoon, Jeff.
Thank you.
Vic.
You too.
I got a couple of things that I want to say.
Fire away.
I want to get off my mind. I've been a Giants fan for 50 years. I know I've seen the good days, the bad days, but Sunday night's game was pathetic. Forget about two blown calls. Forget about the Preston Parker drop. Forget about the third down pass by Eli. What got me was on the last drive, the Cowboys had the ball for no timeouts, 40-something seconds to go, and they drove right downfield. Defense didn't do anything. It was non-existent. I mean, how can they be so open, these guys? I mean, I don't understand how they Romo. They didn't touch him once.
They didn't touch him once all game.
Vic, I hear we've talked about those drives all week. You got anything on the Falcons for us?
The other question I had was Jake Long was visited with the Giants twice during camp, and I thought perhaps they might sign him up. Now, he was clear medically, but the Falcons signed him. Why didn't the Giants pick him up?
The Giants haven't spoken to why they decided not to go down that path. I think the Giants were fairly happy, quite frankly, with how the offensive line played last week. I talked to Justin Pugh, you heard the interview on our pregame show on Sunday, and he was pretty happy with how the offensive line played. I think Marshall Newhouse held up pretty well against DeMarcus Lawrence on that side of the offensive line. I thought they protected Eli pretty well. I thought they ran the ball better as the game went along. So the Giants decided that was not in their best interest. Exactly why, they have not been asked that, Vic, so anything I tell you would be a guess.
I'll tell you, just in my opinion on that,
thank you, Vic. Appreciate the call.
I've done three. When I played, I did three different contracts with the Giants. Okay, mm-hmm. And the way the Giants operate is this: they have a value and they have the amount of money that they're going to pay somebody. I'm pretty much, in my opinion, think that they if they were going to sign Jake Long, they were not going to get into a bidding war with the other three or four teams that were there. They said, this is what we're going to do. I don't know what kind of a contract he got down there in Atlanta. But I just sometimes I know the Giants stick to their guns. And unless it's a really, really super need at a position, they may up their ante. But like John said, you know, they're pretty happy with the way this offensive line is coming together.
Len in Maryland. Len, how are you? You've come out of the cave since Sunday night. Welcome back.
How you doing, guys?
Doing all right.
Well, I called earlier in the week, but I was not in a good mood. I'm in a better mood today.
I hope so.
You know, Jeff, I had this elaborate game plan that I was going to lay on you guys, but as usually happens, John summed it all up earlier in the show. Let me give you a reference point. We were talking about special teams, and sometimes Bosher outkicks the coverage and so forth. And John uttered, it was just kind of a throwaway line. He said, make a play.
Make a play.
Oh, my gosh. You know the bottom line?
Well, listen, make
somebody,
and you know what?
Make a play.
And that goes across the board. Right? Not just special teams. That's across the board. Make a play.
I know.
I agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that you know, reference to the last caller, very quickly on that last drive, somebody tip a ball, get to the court, make a tackle. Oh, somebody make a play. This week we're going to make plays.
Len.
We're going to make plays.
Easy.
I like Eli. I like Odell. I like Shane. I'm starstruck, as John knows. The big guys have to make plays. It's going to be a great day. Home opener. Man, you wait all year for that as a season ticket holder. Home opener, we're going to honor that, the legacy, the 90 group. Used to drive me crazy back in the 60s, guys. We used to have to wait till game four to get a home game because we were sharing the stadium with the Yankees.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, they were always winning. But, hey, tomorrow we get it in week two. It's going to be a beautiful day. We honor those guys from 90. Giants 27, Falcons 13.
There you go.
Let's go, Giants.
Len, hold on real quick. As a guy that's been around for a while, I've been watching the team. Who from the 90 team are you most excited to see come out at halftime during that presentation?
You got to start with LT. LT and Carson and Bill Parcells. I mean, you know, he gets down to the coaching staff. I mean, that was just a great group of people. Some guys whose lives just went off, you know, off on a tangent. Ingram, Meggett, guys like that. They made such great plays. That simple 8-yard run, 9-yard run that Ingram made in the fourth quarter, make a play. make a Mark Ingram play, somebody.
Thank you, Len.
And look, one more quick point.
Yeah, real fast.
And Jeff, you alluded to this a little earlier. I'm just going to add to it. Never send your best customers home unhappy. Let's go, Giants. Make me happy.
Thank you, Len. I appreciate
you. You are definitely one of our best customers.
And by the way, we should bring up, too, that in addition to all the stuff that they're doing on Sunday for the 90 team, they have a very special page on Giants.com. Go to Giants.com/1990-1990, and you can check out great stories from that year. Take a look at some of the artifacts from that year, things of history, great stories from the season that some people might not know, others that people do, but we get a little more in-depth on them. There's great content there. Check it out. It's Giants.com/1990. 201-939-4513. I know this guy was watching back in 1990. Jeff in Rhode Island. Jeffrey?
Yeah, you're right. I go back a lot further than that, buddy. I used to anyways, I'll be liking to see the big tuner out there Sunday. At one point in time, I used to call the Bill Parcells report every Monday night from Gallagher Steakhouse. So I used to have a lot of fun with that.
Bob Papa hosted that show, right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
What a great place
really
to have
sure.
a show. Gallagher Steakhouse. Wow.
Not bad.
It's
yeah,
pretty good.
Yeah, that's where it was every Monday night. I saw some pretty positive things Monday night out of the game. I thought the offensive line did pretty well.
Well, there is, and they almost ran for 100 yards.
Yeah, except, you know, I would have liked to see him, you know, pounding the ball on the ground at the last possession. Yep. And I also thought the secondary played rather well, too. So, you know, there's positives to take out of that. You know, it would have been nice to walk out of there with a win, however.
Oh, it would have been huge.
Oh. I think it would have been, a gigantic, uplifting way to start the season. Well, anyway, that's all history now. So what's going on with Victor? We got to get Victor back big time, man. We need him in the slot. Otherwise, I mean, this offense just isn't going to be firing on all cylinders. So, I mean, I know he's not playing this weekend, but, you know, what's the latest on Victor?
Well, my feeling here, and Jeff, as a former player, please correct me if you think I'm speaking out of turn or if
don't.
I'm wrong. Thank you.
You're never wrong, John.
Well, I think we all know that's not true. So right now he hasn't practiced this week. Unless by some miracle he walks out on Saturday tomorrow and looks great. The Giants haven't ruled him out yet. We'll see what Tom Coughlin says in his Friday presser at around 1 o'clock, and you'll have word on that. But I would say either doubtful or out for this week. And then the problem you run into next week, Jeff, is a Thursday game.
Yeah.
So you're only going to have one practice this week. You're only going to have 2 or 3 days to get ready for that game. So, look, it's happened before. We've seen it. John Beeson, I believe, made his debut in 2013 on a Thursday night game in Chicago, if I recall. But to think Victor's going to come back on a short week then, I would imagine the target's got to be Buffalo, right?
But, yeah, because look, he hasn't practiced all week. I mean,
he hasn't practiced since the third week of August.
So I think it's more likely when you come off the Thursday night game, you have 10 days before the next game. So, you know, that to me would probably be the target. And you hope that because you're right. I think that you do need Victor Cruz, and we're stating the obvious here. However, I believe that when, even though he's not in the lineup, those guys that are on the team and playing have to make plays, and they got to step up. Okay, so we're not going to make. And so that's what these guys are getting paid to do. This is they made the team. Now go out and win a game. It's one game. One game at home in front of your home crowd on a beautiful day this Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock against the Falcons, an NFC opponent. Go out there and win the game.
Conference game, great point.
Oh, yeah. One other thing, and, you know, was there or was there not a helmet-to-helmet hit on Odell Beckham Jr. when he
I don't think it was a helmet. I think he got him in the shoulder, and I think everybody thought it was the helmet. That's why he went through the concussion protocol on the sidelines.
Yeah, and J.J. Wilcox actually broke his nose on that hit. I'm not sure if you saw that, but
I read that.
And I think Wilcox said Beckham told him that's the hardest he's ever been hit. So I think that was one of the situations where it was actually a good, clean hit.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody complain about it. I haven't gone back and looked at the replay a bunch of times to break it down, Jeff.
They showed it on TV, and it looked like it was his shoulder. It was close to the helmet, but it was on the shoulder pad.
And players are starting to listen. Players are getting better at aiming lower, and I think that's going to be good for everybody. Jeff, we appreciate the call, bud.
Thank you, Jeff.
201-939-4513. And then I rewatched the officials video, by the way, and that was a correct call with Donnell. He was not yet a runner when he went down
on
the ground.
Fumble. And the one that went out of bounds?
Yeah, on the
– So it was incomplete pass.
It was an incomplete pass. Yeah. That was the right call. If you look at the officiating
– Hey, they got one right.
If you look at the officiating video they sent around, it takes a while for the guy to be considered a runner. It's like a catch, two steps, a turn, tuck field. So this is not a quick thing where catch, tuck, runner. No. Yeah. Not the case. This is catch, tuck, both feet on the ground, and then
the
look
fumble.
Up.
Yeah.
Becoming a runner does take a little bit while. Takes a little while on those plays.
And you know what? You look at that game, how quickly the Cowboys and Jason Garrett ran out of their challenges. I mean, they were done with them for the rest of the game.
That was a bad challenge on the Beckham play. Someone upstairs gave Jason Garrett some bad information. But it was pretty clear that Beckham was bobbling that ball before he tucked it in.
Yeah. Yep.
Didn't understand that at all. And by the way, I want to note this too. You mentioned it's a conference game. Look at the NFC East right now. It's only one team at 1-0 with the Giants played to a one-point game. The three other teams haven't won yet. And the Cowboys play the Eagles this week in Philadelphia without Dez Bryant, without possibly one of their starting offensive linemen, and no Randy Gregory, no Greg Hardy, no Rolando McClain. So you can easily have two 1-1 teams at the top of the division. So if things go the way I think they'll go, I think the Eagles are going to beat Dallas this week. The Giants could be tied for first if they beat the Falcons. So, and all of a sudden, all the panic is, you know, pushed away a little bit.
And it's crazy how this league works. Every week, it's things change. You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, let's just backtrack 1 week prior to the game that the Giants lost last week. We were all sitting here going, "Oh yeah, the Cowboys and the Eagles are they're the two guys in the division that are just way head and shoulders above everybody." After week one, we're sitting here saying, you know, the Eagles aren't that, you know, they got some problems. Dallas is hurt now. So it all kind of comes around. And you're right, John. This team, if the Giants can get their business done on Sunday and the other guys lose here and there, the Giants could be sitting up there 1-1, top of the division. And what happened last week just kind of gets just lost in the dust, you know, and you move on.
Of course, the most important thing is the first thing you said there.
What's that?
Take care of business on Sunday.
Take care. That's one game. That's it. One game at 1 o'clock.
2-1. 939-4513. We got three more callers, and we got to get Jeff's fantasy picks this week.
I got it right here. Yeah.
We'll get to those after Howard in Washington, D.C. Howard?
What's up, Howard?
Howard, going once.
Hello?
Hey, you're on, Howard.
Wake up, Howard. Come on now.
This is Alan in D.C.
Oh, it's Alan in D.C. Sorry, Alan. How are you, buddy?
No wonder you're like, hello?
Well, at least that explains this confusion. What's up, Al?
Okay, not much, man. Just like everybody else, you know, finally getting over the whole Dallas situation, you know, and being in D.C., there's a lot of Dallas people here, especially in my office. So
they're everywhere.
I had to walk into the office. It was like 30 people just looking at me, and then I was just like, I don't want to even talk about it. I got meetings all day. But I'm finally getting it over, and I'm looking forward to this next game.
Now, Alan, on the bright side, you're in Washington, D.C. The Redskins fans aren't in a place where they can say anything to you. So you at least got something on those guys still.
You're right about that. You know, we better not disappoint on that Thursday night game, because I'm driving up there, and I don't want to come back on the next day and hear for a whole week with those guys. But
Alan, by the way, I don't want to scare you. It's going to be more than a week. They don't play the Redskins again until the 29th, so you're going to have to deal with that for about 2 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, this is my first time actually talking to Jeff Diver, and I want to thank you for all your years of service.
Welcome.
And, you know, you were a great, great punter. You know, the infamous the coffin corner punt. I like, you know, all those.
A little exciting, wasn't it? Rather than that, just the fair catch now that they do these days, you know?
Yeah, it's whack now, you know, but I like, you know,
thank
everything you did for us, you know, and help us get those, you know, the championship. But onto the Falcons, you know, they have, you know, really good weapons. They got Julio Jones and Roddy White, and those two, you know, with Matt Ryan, I'm not sold on him, but he's a very good. He manages the game really well, and our secondary is going to be tested, and we got to play better than we did against Dallas. You know, we cannot come out with that level of play, or else we're going to be in a very bad fight with the Falcons. And you know my biggest concern, I guess, is the pass rush for us. It seemed non-existent against Dallas, and I don't know if that's because Dallas has a great line. But how do you think we're going to do against the Atlanta line come the Falcons game?
I think you should have more success, Jeff. And I think one interesting thing about this is that, do you think we'll see DeMontre Moore, he only played 19 snaps on defense in week number one. It was the fewest among defensive linemen. Do you think we'll see him on the field more to generate more of a pass rush since the Falcons don't have that same punishing running attack that the Cowboys do?
Yeah, I do, because I think and I think that, you know, I mentioned earlier on matchups, I think him being the speed rusher, you know, and getting off the ball as quickly as he can, I think that, you know, you got to get him in the game. I think they're trying to get him to understand the game of football and how it's played, and being able to get him on the field with different types of moves and what he has to do rather than just the same thing every single time. So until he can show the coaching staff what he can do that way, I think you're going to see him probably about the same amount of snaps until he can do something special. And maybe this is the week, you know, Atlanta, they got 9 defensive linemen that they get in and out of that game going the whole time and keeping them fresh. And, you know, and that's kind of the MO for the whole league, is trying to keep that many guys fresh. And although the guy can make some plays, and sometimes he makes some bonehead plays, but, you know, more importantly, if he can get in there and get around Matt Ryan and make a big play, a sack, a forced fumble, something like that would be nice.
Great. And finally, I wanted to because if you could tell our new punter if he could keep the ball away from Hester at all costs. Cause
trust me, I don't have to tell him that. He's already been told that about 100 times today. And this whole
okay,
week.
Great.
Yeah. I'll send him a text.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Alan. Buddy. Good luck with your coworkers, by the way.
All right, here we go. I got one more caller, but I'm gonna do our draft things first. Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to play for free. Today, Feagles, last week, you did a really good job on one of your picks. I don't remember who it was, but you kind of struck out on the other two. You did not come up very big on those. Let's see what your picks are for week number two here, Jeff. What do you got
for us? All right, well, hey, fans, here's my week two DraftKings lineup. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitment. Here's my week two lineup. Okay, at the QB position, I'm going with Carson Palmer, who came back last week after a knee injury and lit
like
it up against the Saints.
I like that.
You like that one?
Yeah, I do.
I expect him to have another big week this week as he's facing the Chicago Bears, who gave up 3 passing touchdowns last week against the Packers.
Bears defense struggled.
And Palmer's listed at $6,700 and expected to have another big game, okay?
I like that. I like
now,
that one, Jeff.
You're going to like this one. Okay. You're going to like this one. Okay?
Now, if you would have picked this guy last week, I would have been really impressed.
I would have been impressed with myself. But that's, so maybe, but listen, running back position, okay? Carlos Hyde. Last week, Hyde rushed for 160 yards on 2 TDs against the Vikings. Expect him to have another big game this week against Pittsburgh. Reason behind this is because the 49ers not having to go to a wideout, I expect Hyde to get plenty of attempts in both rushing and receiving. And at $5,100, I expect him to put up some big, big points. My last pick at tight end is Tyler Eifert. My tight end, Tyler Eifert's reason – oh, look at this. I have to read these things, by the way, you guys. Eifert is because he went off last week against the Raiders. Wow, big deal. Although the Raiders aren't much, right? But scoring 2 TDs and scoring over 20 fantasy points, which John and I both know that's a lot of points, guys. I expect Eifert to have another big game because I have a feeling that the Chargers will be more focusing on A.J. Green and Jeremy Hill and
I would
forget
too.
About our guy Eifert.
And by the way, he looked, when we scrimmaged against the Bengals, he looked really
unbelievable.
Impressive.
And Eifert will cost you $4,200. It's a cheap option that will maximize your points. So there you go, guys. And that's my DraftKings lineup for the week. To draft your own lineup, go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code New York to claim your free entry today. That's DraftKings.com.
Now, for you guys that might not know, Jeff does real estate now that he's out of the football game, right? So this is what he does on the side, but his main profession is real estate. And when you do real estate, you have to budget things, and you have to decide, well, you know what? I'm going to buy a house. I got X number of dollars to spend, but
yeah.
I got to spend my dollars wisely. Where am I getting the best bang for my buck? Is it redoing my kitchen? Is it redoing my bathroom?
Yep.
This guy knows that sort of
you
stuff.
You
got
to spend your money to make money.
That's why he's Mr. DraftKings here.
That's it. And so I'm liking Eifert this week. Of these three here, I like Eifert, although everybody probably likes him. But I'll tell you what, matchup.
I think Eifert's your sleeper, and I think that's a nice one to like.
I do it because of what I said with A.J. Green and Jeremy Hill. They're going to be concentrating on this guy. You can't cover all three of those guys. So.
And I also like the matchups because the Bears' defense struggled last week. We saw a lot of issues with the Steelers' defense against the Patriots.
No question. And, you know, nobody.
I think he'll be okay this
the
weekend.
The 49ers have nobody to throw to, so he's going to get. Yeah, this is going to be good. Okay, we're going to see how I did next week from these picks here. So, hey, listen, it's a long. It's a season long. It's season long.
Hey, and you start over every year, every week.
Every week.
That's the beauty of DraftKings. All right, here we go. Joe in Pennsylvania, you're up next to wrap up the show. Joseph?
Joseph, what's up, man?
Hi, guys. I was getting over some of this here, but then when you were talking about the officiating crew there, it opened the wounds a little bit. Can Coughlin put a complaint in on the way Fells got mugged in a difference with DRC, a touch foul?
Well, I don't know why he has to put a complaint in. They've already pretty much told him they already made a mistake.
Yeah, so I think that's already done, Joe.
Yeah, well, over the bridge. See, this now, but you have to give Dallas defensive credit. This is what I wanted the Giants defense do to Witten. They just brushed them. They weren't, their defensive line wasn't getting to the quarterback anyway. It was the last play of the game, and they just gave him a little brush, let him run down the field. This is where I would had someone up there hitting him and another guy hitting him. You know what I mean? Slow him down. Because he's slow, but he's just a big guy and he has good hands yet. And also on the running backs, I wanted to take our linebacker out there in the middle, Unga or whatever, and put in another corner or safety on them running backs because they were not going to run the ball there anyway. So, but anyway, moving on. With the Cowboys, I did see the Falcons game, and that they have a very swarming defense. So
yeah.
I hope we can hold on to the ball. And I did notice in the game, wide receiver screens a lot. They got called on it a few times for blocking early. So hopefully the Giants will catch that too, and because they try to get the ball quick off the. They're a big guy, and they're blocking already down the field.
Yeah, Joe, you know what? Joe, you're exactly right, and I will let you finish, but those three penalties saw against the Falcons for the offensive pass interference, blocking before the catch is made, it is similar to stuff I've seen the Giants do, running that slot guy on the quick out and having the flanker or the split-end block. So it'll be interesting to see if the Falcons, watching the Giants on tape, seeing them run that play, if they've told the league, hey, hold on a second, guys, you busted us on this three times last week.
You better watch out for these guys.
You better watch it for it on Sunday. Yeah. So, Joe, I think that's a really good point, and I think it's something to keep an eye on Sunday.
Yeah, and we definitely have to run the ball, and we should be able to put more pressure on their quarterback there with their
All
line,
right.
Hopefully. So no turnovers because the Falcons really have a scrappy team. He has them swarming to the ball and playing tough.
Well, the Giants did well last week on offense of taking care of the football. Defensively, they did a nice job of taking it away. You're just shocked, Joe, when you go to come out of an away game with a +3 turnover differential and not win the game. But, listen, you know, you want to be perfect at home. Not going to be a perfect game, but the fact is you got to go play, and we're looking forward to the game at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, guys. Go Giants. Good luck.
Thank you, Joe. Have a good day, my man.
And you just brought it up, and I don't want to depress you. Take a guess of, and I said this to Lance on Tuesday. I'm not sure if you're listening. I know you weren't.
You'd be surprised.
Last year, road teams with a +3 turnover differential. What do you think the record was last year?
Oh, boy. Percentage maybe of winning or road record?
You know what? Total games.
I mean, it's like.
If you can give me total games, wins, and losses, or you can give me percentage wins.
I'm going to say they won. They were +3.
Teams that were +3 or better.
On the road.
On the road. What was their record last year?
It was a winning record.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Come on.
Okay.
+3. Absolutely.
And I'm going to say they won 90% of their games.
22-0.
Almost 100% exactly. That's my point. And the only reason the only reason I know this is not because I study it. It's because I heard it for 7 years on Friday. Because on Fridays in the team meeting, they always start off, Toast Coughlin comes in and says how they go over the numbers. And they say the road team that wins this, the home team that does that. It's just like embedded in your mind. 22-0.
And overall 43-1.
That's
teams
ridiculous.
That were +3.
Yeah.
It just shows you. And remember, we talked last week and all the fans were calling in and saying, guys, I don't see how the Giants are going to win. Oh, the Cowboys, they're too good. And I said, guys, look, you've watched Giants-Cowboys a million times before. Strange stuff happens.
Always.
And you get a couple turnovers one way or the other.
Yeah.
It can change the entire complexion of a game. And, you know, we've broken down this game on Sunday every which way.
Sure.
It's going to matter of how the ball bounces, too. last night. Look at last night. Who would have expected Alex Smith getting his arm hit? Jamaal Charles is fumbling. Who has a game-winning fumble return for a touchdown? That doesn't happen.
We've said it so many times. The number one statistic in pro football is turnover.
And you can't predict them. That's why it's so fickle.
Can't predict them. Who would think that they give the ball to Jamaal Charles at the end of that game last night
just to
run the clock out and go into overtime? Game over. 14 points or 12 points in a matter of, 14 points in 9 seconds, they said.
They were more defensive touchdowns last night than offensive touchdowns. It was crazy. Yeah.
So that's the game of football that everybody loves. It's the game of football you hate if you're a Giants fan and you go down and lose the game like they did last week. But, hey, it's a new week. It's our final show here on Friday for its Big Blue Kickoff live. And, listen, all you Giants fans, let's go. I mean, get together. They got a good chance of winning this week at home.
And be loud on Sunday.
Be loud. Go be really loud. Go out there if you're going to the game. Get there a little bit early for some of the festivities for the 90 Super Bowl team. Gonna be. I think I heard or read that Carl Banks had said that there's up to 40 guys from that team that are going to be there. So what a great experience to go out there. There'll be some guys signing autographs before the game. Enjoy your time, and hopefully next week we're sitting here talking about the New York Giants atop the division at 1-1. All those other guys took care of their business and didn't take care of their business, whatever.
So. Hey, Jeff just wrapped up the show better than I did.
How about that, John?
Everybody, enjoy your weekend. Have fun at the game. Take it easy.
Well, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go, let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants!